The world is gearing up for the Academy Awards this Sunday. Many African Americans will be pulling for Best Actor nominee Terrence Howard, who's nominated for his role in the movie Hustle and Flow. This is on the heels of last year's Oscar wins by two other black actors. But there was a time when this was unthinkable. Not only were blacks virtually shut out of the awards, but black fans watched mostly all-white films from restricted balcony seats. Actress S. Pearl Sharp says, in spite of all this, blacks have always made the best of the movie-going experience.
With all the hoopla about the Emmys, the Golden Globe Awards, and finally the Academy Awards, I decided to take a break and check out The View from the Balcony. That means dropping in on my friend, Dr. Mamie Clayton, a retired librarian with a passion for history and films, founder of the Black American Cinema Society and the Western States Black Research Center in Los Angeles. She has one of the country's largest private collections of early black films.
Why don't you let me be and give me a divorce?
I dare you to try to get a divorce. I'll have my brothers break your ugly neck.
Now, I know there are a lot of young black filmmakers who think that they are doing something no one else has done before, but black folks have been involved in the movie business for almost 100 years. Okay, when I say involved, there are two sides to that picture, the view from the main floor and the view from the balcony. In the good old days of all-white movies and segregation, the balcony was open and, as Dr. Clayton recalls, shall we say, reserved for blacks.
When I was a child living in Van Buren, Arkansas, the only theater that we could attend, we had to go up a real steep stairs, and then you open up a little door for the black people, and you go into the theater.
The best view was from the balcony.
Roosevelt Rick Wright Jr. should know. His father was a motion picture projectionist in North Carolina during the 1920s and 1930s. Under the country's segregationist Jim Crow laws of the time, we certainly weren't going to allow any race mixing to be going on while enjoying a good movie.
Yes, we as African Americans had to go up in the balcony to watch the movies, but that was the best place to view a movie.
Following his father's footsteps, Rick Wright Jr. is a professor of film and television at Syracuse University.
And then, of course, you need a projection booth, and then you got the ambience of the projection machine. I mean, and that light coming through those portholes, I mean, that's magical. I mean, it's a movie.
That's the only way they could see the movies, and that was on a movie house around.
So. Again, film archivist Mamie Clayton.
But I do remember of one occasion when my sister put her foot over the balcony and her shoe fell down on the white people down the stairs. And she was scared to go get it. She went home crying, and my daddy said, "Shoot, I paid too much for those shoes." He went up to the theater and got a shoe. That was hilarious.
And here's what's important about Dr. Clayton's experience.
I don't remember ever seeing a black movie before I became of age to go away to college.
Coming along two generations later, my experience was a little like Mamie's. Raised in Ohio, the only brown skin star I saw on the big screen was Bambi. Yes, the deer. Then in high school in the late 1950s, the problem was not segregation, but integration. The school ran feature films in segments during lunchtime every day, but they weren't showing films that featured a suave and handsome Lorenzo Tucker, known as the Black Valentino. So I thought that swooning over Rock Hudson and cheering on white cowboys was all there was. Fortunately, a couple of decades later, Dr. Clayton rescued me. In 1977, she presented Black Talkies on Parade, a public screening in Hollywood of films made by pioneer black directors like Spencer Williams and Oscar Micheaux and the Johnson Brothers. These films, made between 1910 and the early 1950s, had black starlets and villains, and they were made especially for the black audience. I was transported into a whole other world. There was one of my heroes, the esteemed, dignified Paul Robeson, playing a shady hustler. It was sort of the original Hustle and Flow made by a black director, Oscar Micheaux, 80 years ago. And was that a black cowboy on the screen?
We had never seen a black cowboy film up until Herb Jeffries. But Herb Jeffries did three or four black cowboy films. And when I saw that, I was just astounded. I just thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened.
With my robe and my saddle and my horse and my gun.
Roy Rogers and Tonto, move over. Well, no, you can leave Tonto with us. The singing cowboy and his comic side man were at the top of Roosevelt Rick Wright's list, too.
Man Tan Moreland and my man Herb Jeffers in a black cowboy movie. In a black theater. The line was long all the way around the block. People trying to get in there to see this movie.
Tell the sheriff and his deputies to come to the old mines in Perdido Canyon right away.
And there was that scene where Man Tan Moreland, some guys got behind him. He was running so fast that his shoes caught on fire. You know, sort of the stereotyping of the era, but it was magnificent.
Do you think that we are missing something today?
Oh, we're missing it big time. The theater served as a social nerve center, as a sociological center of activity for the community. Everybody came to the movies. You know, they dressed up.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
I rode out here. Don't you see my horse?
Try to help your brother get away, huh?
No, sir. I thought y'all wanted to race.
I ought to run you in.
Well, y'all run me out there. You might as well run me in.
I wasn't there, but I definitely get the sense that there was a no-apology, talk-back-to-the-movie closeness in the balcony that was enlarged when blacks began owning theaters and could sit on the main floor. And that's what I love about watching the old films. They stimulated a race bonding that, quite frankly, a lot of us are scared of today. Now, our balcony is the high-def, flat-screen, in-home movie theater where, like Superman, we hold the remote control, ready to leap to all channels in a single bound. It makes me a little sad to say, in the words of a popular film critic,
if you all don't get back time for lunch, you're gonna miss the best mess of chitlin that you ever laid your lips over.
Oops, wrong reel. I meant to say, the balcony is now closed.
S. Pearl Sharp is a writer and filmmaker living in Los Angeles.
What have I got that the others ain't?
To take us out, here's the divine Lena Horne with Honey in the Honeycomb from the 1943 film Cabin in the Sky.
Taint my perfume, nor my fancy paint. But when I charm, the men all swarm. Just like they was bees. There's honey in the honeycomb. There's sugar in the cane. There's oysters in a real oyster stew. And bubbles in sweet champagne.